I'd like you please to turn to the book of Isaiah. Book of Isaiah and the chapter 45. Last Lord's Day morning, I preached upon the subject, why do all men need to be saved? Rather an elementary gospel topic, but one nevertheless that ever needs to be emphasized. I'm sure you've heard the story how George Whitefield on one occasion, when he gave out the text, "You must be born again," was asked after the meeting, "Look, why is it you preach so often on that text? I have heard you announce that text and preach upon it so many times. Why are you always preaching on 'you must be born again'?" And I'm sure after a moment or two, Whitfield answered, "Well, I preach on that text because you must be born again." And my dear friend, there are some things in God's Word that particularly need to be emphasized. And the very basic principles of the gospel are matters that need ever to be repeated and repeated and repeated. Well, as I say, I spoke upon why all men need to be converted, need to be saved. I give three simple reasons. The condition in which every one of us is born. We're born sinners. That's why we need to be saved. The course that every one of us embark upon requires that we be saved, because we follow the ways of sin, the course of this world. And then again, I gave a third reason, because of the condemnation under which we all live. We are condemned. We're under the judgment of God. The wrath of God abideth upon everyone who is not saved. And for that reason, it's the preacher's task to emphasize that and return to that topic again and again. Well, I'm going to take the matter a little further today, as God will help me and how much I need His help. And I'm going to ask another question and hopefully answer it. And the question is, well, where do we look for salvation? If we all need to be saved, where do we look for salvation? We're going to look at Isaiah chapter 45, and one verse in it, verse 22 of Isaiah chapter 45. And that verse reads, "Look unto me." God is asking for your attention this morning. God is asking for you to look at Him this morning, and to turn away your eyes from whatever it is you may be looking at, from whatever it is that may be distracting you. "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am gone, and there is none else." You little ones, young lady, young man, I want you to look at this verse and put down whatever it is you have in your hand. For God has spoken to you. And He's speaking to me, and He's speaking to you. He wants you to look unto Him. And that's a solemn matter. Now we're going to ask in prayer for the Lord's blessing. Father, may we give heed to Thee as Thou dost call from heaven to us for our attention. Please speak to us, Lord. Thou knowest how deaf we are. Thou knowest how blind we are. And I would ask thee, Lord, that in kindness and in mercy, if there has never been a looking to thee for salvation, then this very day thou wilt speak. Bless us now as we spend this time around your word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. You know, most men, I think I could probably say all men, at some time or other during their life become conscious that there is a great need within their hearts, within their souls, of salvation. And I include in that those in the darkest parts of the world who perhaps have never heard the gospel. I have no doubt that even they become conscious that there is a great lack within their lives. But though men may be conscious of a vacuum, of a need, it's only through the gospel that we are instructed as to the detail of that need. Only the gospel alone directs us to where it is that we must turn if we are to find an answer to that need. Oh, many men have gone on pilgrimages, have turned aside into churches, have sought out the counsel of other men for advice, for help, in meeting the need of which they have some consciousness. But it's not until we come to the Word of God that we will find instruction in that matter. And here is a text. Here is a text. And it reminds me of Saul the king, in that it stands head and shoulders in some ways above other texts in its plainness of instruction as to where we are to look for salvation. Let me read it to you again. For here is a text that is so eloquent it doesn't need a preacher. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. This text settles the matter as to which is the true religion on the face of the earth today. Oh, I don't have to wonder too long about this. There's only one God, and He tells us what His name is, the Lord. Jehovah. And we need not dispute regarding which religion merits man's support. Here it is. Here's a pronouncement that settles that matter. Now today, let me divide this text up as simply as I can and point out to you first and foremost that God Himself tells us where we are to look for salvation. I'm not telling you. You could dismiss what I say. You could challenge what I say. You could dispute.
If it was me that was saying this, but it's not me. It's the Lord.
It's God that here is speaking. What authority, therefore, there is for this declaration that I, by repeating this verse, am making. This settles every controversy. This settles every controversy about salvation and where it is to be found. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. God's telling us where to look. God's telling us where to look. When we come to church, you know, well, when we come to a Bible preaching church, we're not just going through some form, some ritual that has been carried on there for ages. We're not just engaging in something that people have deemed to be a good thing, a proper thing, a beneficial thing. When we come to God's house and seat ourselves before His Word, we're listening to God. We're listening to God. It's as if a letter is delivered to a blind person, and the postman who's delivering it, knowing the affliction, says, "Here's a letter, and you know from the back of it, it's from your son. Would you like me to read it to you?" And kindly he opens it, and he opens it out, and he reads out the words written down on the paper to the lady, to the mother. And you know, as the mother is listening, you know, she doesn't hear the postman's voice, she hears the words of her son. Men and women, when we're in God's house and the Bible is being preached, hear the voice of God. Hear the voice of God. Salvation, let us learn, first of all, is in a person. It's in a person. Salvation is in a person. Look unto me, God says. He doesn't say, look unto the tabernacle, or look unto the temple, or look unto the rituals of the high priest, or look unto the sacrifices that are offered. He says none of this. He says, look unto me. And I want you today to lift your eyes above the activities of this church, this service, above the preacher. I want you to look unto the Lord as He reveals Himself here in His Word. I want you to notice that we are to come directly to the Lord. We're not to expect to come to someone who will act as a go-between. You know, many people do that. Roman Catholic people do it. They're not the only ones. Indeed, I can say this. Every false religion has this notion that an ordinary person can't come to God. They must go through some other person who's somewhat better than them. But God says, look unto me. And no matter what age you are, you can look personally, directly to the Lord. You can urge the smallest little one to look to the Lord. I have grandchildren, but some of them not yet see it. Oh, I wish I could do something for them. That's the natural instinct. I wish I could act on their behalf, but I can't. They must look. I took one of them aside. Oh, just before I came over to Lewis. And her and I went aside and we were talking a little. And she was telling me this and telling me that and just excited about all these things. And then I said, well, let me ask you something. Have you yet come to the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you trusted Him? You know, I've trusted Him. Your granddad has trusted the Lord Jesus. And he's going to heaven because he has trusted the Lord Jesus. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus? And that child, little face, got serious and solemn. No, I haven't. My friend, if I could have done something there and then for that child, acted on her behalf, I would have done it, but I can't. I could but hold her and say, well, look, you must come to the Lord Jesus. You must look to Him. If you want to be in heaven with Granny, Granda, and Mother, and Father, and I name some of the other members of the family, he said, you have to come to Christ. And that's how it is with everyone. We must come to Him directly. We must come to Him personally. That's what our text is saying. I'm not reading anything into this. You surely see that. Look unto me and be ye saved. You greatly dishonor the Lord when you look anywhere else. When the Lord says, look to me to be saved, if you were to say, well, no, I'm going to try here, or I'm going to try there, or I'm going to try this method, you dishonor God terribly, immeasurably. What a dishonor it is to God when men try by their own good works. When they say, well, my mother was saved, my father was saved, therefore I'm sure I'm saved. You dishonor God by saying that. Because you're not looking to Him for salvation. You're looking to your family connection to be saved. Or if you're engaging in good works and thinking that by giving to the church and supporting it or attending the church, that's how you'll get into heaven. You're dishonoring God. Look unto me, he says. God Himself tells us where we are to look for salvation. You'll never find another one to save you. No matter how much you look or where you look, you'll never find another one. There's only one who can save you. Jesus said, I am the way. Oh, many modern religionists don't like that. They wouldn't have minded if the Lord Jesus had said, I am a way. But He didn't. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And He it is who is addressing us here in this text. He says, look unto me, for I am the way. You can't get to heaven any other way. Let me come secondly in our text to point out this. God tells us here what to do in order to be saved. You know, folks say, oh, I can't understand the Bible. It's so complicated. It's so difficult to understand. You can take out of it whatever view you wish. Every man can place his own interpretation upon the Bible. That's what people say who want to avoid what the Bible's saying. Now, what is hard to understand here? Look unto me and be ye saved. What's hard about that? What word, to use a modern idiom, what word is it you don't understand in that statement? Look, you know what that means. Unto, likewise, me. Where is the confusion? This is simplicity itself. God is telling us where we must look. Don't listen to what men say, for they complicate things. They do. They really do. Here's the gospel summed up. I'll not count the words, but you count them. There's not many. Not many words in that verse. There's the whole gospel. There's the whole gospel. What's complicated about it, men and women? There's nothing complicated. We are without excuse. We are without excuse. The simplest child who has come to the years of understanding can understand this instruction. A child that comes to you and says, please, where did you put that lovely box of sweeties? And you say, well, I hid them away from you, but I'll tell you where they are. They're in the third cupboard there, the second shelf down. And that child will make its way to the third cupboard and find the second shelf and the sweeties without a bit of difficulty. There's less work in finding salvation, according to this verse, than that child was faced with in finding the sweeties. God tells us here, all you have to do, look. Look. You don't have to get up. You don't have to turn around. You don't have to speak. You just look. Right from where you're sitting. Right from that pew. You can look. You can look. Jonah looked out of the belly of a whale. He says, I will look again. And just think of all the people in unusual places that heeded the teaching of God's word and looked to God for salvation. You know, I never was in a church service like this. Never. Before I was saved. You have heard more gospel today, poor and all it may be, this preacher, but nevertheless, you have heard more gospel today than I have heard before I was saved. And yet I got saved, not in a church, but in the upstairs bedroom of a friend that I was visiting. I fell on my knees and I cried to God. I looked. I looked. That's what God says here. How simple is God's way, men and women? How gloriously and wonderfully simple is God's way? On the hill of Carmel, when Elijah the prophet was sent by God to challenge the false prophet. You remember? There he was, all on his own. And there were hundreds of false prophets. Hundreds of them. That's man's way. Ritual. Religious theater. All sorts of activities, dressing up, marching about, going hither and thither, and God says, you only have to look. In our country, there are many places in which people, in order to try and earn their way to heaven, go on pilgrimages. There's one not too far away from us called Lough Derg.
And they go there for days, and they tramp around that little island in the middle of a lake in their bare feet.
Usually to go to that little island, even in the height of summer, you've got to wear almost a fisherman's outfit, for it's a miserable cold place. And there they are tramping around it in their bare feet, and they don't eat anything. They don't eat anything.
And this is all with the hope of getting to heaven.
They do it, some of them, year after year, because doing it once, that's not enough. They're not sure that it worked, so they have to go back again.
God says, look, that's all you need to do. That's all you need to do. Just look to me, he says. Look to me. You know, that word look is full of meaning. It's full of meaning. We employ it every day when we're in trouble. According to the nature of the trouble, we look in a certain direction. If the electricity goes off and there's no doubt power, we look to the electrician. If suddenly the water stops, we look to the plumber. Me, when I lose something, I look to my wife to find it. Oh, you know the meaning of the word look. It's to look with expectation. It's to look with confidence that this is the direction in which help will come. It's to look in faith. Outside the temple, on one occasion, Peter and John were going into the temple, and there was a man lying at the gate, beautiful. A man lying. He was sick. He had been crippled for years. And he was begging, holding up a cup or something, I'm sure. And as Peter was passing, Peter stopped and said, look unto what? Do you know why he said that? Because even though he was begging and expecting people going past to give him something, he was looking all around him to see the next likely customer. Oh, I've seen it with beggars. I've seen it. I've seen it in Israel. They're holding out their hand asking for backsheesh, 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 and they're holding it out to you, but they're looking around to see if there's a more likely candidate about to come. So they're backsheesh, backsheesh, but they're not looking at you. Peter says, look to us! And the man did look. He had never heard this command before, and he looked with expectation. It says he looked expecting to receive something. And something he did receive. He received instructions as to how he may be delivered from his sickness. He was to look to the Lord. That's what the word look means. And that's what you're to do today. Look to Christ. Have you looked to him? Have you looked to him? Have you looked to him? Lifted up your eyes. Looked away. On one occasion, the king of Judah was going out to face a great, great enemy. And he said, we have no might nor power against this great host. There's not a chance of us winning. But our eyes are upon thee. We're looking to you, Lord, for your help. That's what the sinner does. I'm lost. I'm going to hell. I cannot save myself. But I'm looking for you, Lord. The thief said that on the cross. I haven't long to live. He must have known that. I'm going to die. And if I die in the state I'm in, I'll be in hell. But he looked to Jesus and he said, Lord, remember me. Remember me. That's where his hope was. In the one he looked at.
Let me just conclude by saying, who is invited to look? Who's invited to look? It's important that you notice this. Because there's no good looking to the Lord for salvation if he hasn't invited you. Is your name on the invitation? Look at it. Look unto me and be ye saved. Now, it's important. Is your name there? All the ends of the earth. Why, your name is there. For this is an invitation to everyone. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached. And he repeated a word that a prophet had preached. And the word was, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. You know, the letters that make up the word whosoever spell your name as well. Because you're in there. You're one of the whosoever. So this is an invitation for you today. This is an invitation for you. Will you take it up? God calls from heaven, look unto me. Are you too busy looking at some trivial thing? Some inconsequential thing? Some sinful thing? Too busy to look to the Lord. Go home with this word ringing in your heart. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know that everyone in hell is there because they never called on the name of the Lord? They never called on the name of the Lord. That's why they're in hell. They never looked to the Lord, but caught up with their sin, dominated by their sin, deceived by their sin. You never look to the Lord. Please, today, look unto the Lord and be ye saved. May he bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's bow in a word of prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that it may please thee, Lord, to take this word today and bury it in the heart of each one, and may it bring forth fruit, Lord, unto righteousness. As we now leave thy house, be pleased, O God, to enable us to live as we should this Sabbath day, to keep holy the Sabbath day, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.